Hey, you're listening to Booth Talk from the After Movie Diner. And on this very special episode, we're talking to none other than Mark Burns. He's actually been a longtime fan and friend of the After Movie Diner podcast. And now he himself is a guest on the prestigious, dare I say it, Booth Talk podcast. He is on here today talking all about Weekend of the Dead, which is the UK's, nay, probably the world's, premier George A. Romero / Dead franchise of films convention, event, get-together, gathering, call it what you will. It's Weekend of the Dead. It's in the UK. It's Tom Savini's favorite convention of all time. That is fantastic. We're going to get into it with Mark Burns, all about George A. Romero, all about Weekend of the Dead, all about the fantastic experience he's had since he got involved with a group of people who do it. And I hope you will stick around and listen. Don't forget, you can check out this podcast and all the podcasts in the After Movie Diner family over at aftermoviediner.com. Don't forget to go there every time you buy your Amazon shopping online. And please, if you can, support us on Patreon at patreon.com/ After Movie Diner, or quite simply just rate and review this show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, wherever podcasts can be found. And with that, let's go over and talk to Mark Burns about Weekend of the Dead. Woohoo!
Made up that you've given me a chance to come on the show. You know, like I said, we've been friends for years, and you know, I've been a listener of the show since I think episode 3, I think, something like that. You know, the third time you went up. Yeah,
I think actually my memories on Facebook today brought up a picture when you first bought a T-shirt for the diner, which was probably about 5 years ago, I think, or something like that.
Right, yeah, you know, it's still going. I still have that shirt.
Yeah, well, so's the show. It's about the only show that I've been involved in that's sort of still going. It's fantastic. It's a long time coming. I'm not sure why we haven't had him on as a guest yet, but now that we know we can do this, we must do this in the future. It is fantastic to have none other than legendary fan of the show and a dear personal friend, Mark Burns, here to discuss Weekend of the Dead, which I think is the UK's premier George A. Romero fan convention, which you have something to do with hosting, right, Mark?
Yeah, I'm involved with. I just want to start off by saying I consider this an honour, you having me on the show. Like I said, been a long time listener, and I am very grateful to you giving me some time to be on the show. Yeah, Weekend of the Dead. I am a volunteer for the Weekend of the Convention, which has been going since 2015.
Right.
And I started off as a fan. The whole thing started off with a bunch of UK fans started a Facebook group because we were asking ourselves, why isn't there a George Romero-themed convention in the UK? I mean, obviously, there's one's going on in the States and in Europe, and we thought, well, can we get one to happen in the UK? You know, how would that happen? So a bunch of fans got together on Facebook and, you know, had the idea of, right, let's make this work. Well, it didn't really take off the ground, you know. It kind of kept stalling until this gentleman called Marcus Lewis became involved and took the reins of the group, and off it went.
It's fantastic. And you've had some, so over the last 3 years, obviously, I think I've seen it predominantly on Facebook through following you and seeing your social media pushes about the event. I think I've seen it probably the last couple of years, I think, maybe 16, 17 and 18, I think, maybe, the events.
Yeah.
And what's been incredible about the event is not just obviously the fact that a bunch of UK Romero fans got together and kind of hashed this thing out, but the I think the level of guests you're getting, I think it's the best I don't even know that all the guests you're getting go to the ones that they do in Pittsburgh. Like, you are getting everyone from, you know, the escalator zombie in Dawn of the Dead, all the way up to Tom Savini, who has stated it's his favorite convention he's ever been to. You know, it's and everything in between, and everyone in between. It's really phenomenal, the kind of people you get. And it makes me jealous because, I mean, I've been to Pittsburgh. I've seen the locations. I'm very lucky to have friends out there. And I was able to tour some of the, you know, the Monroeville Mall and the cemetery from Night of the Living Dead and stuff like that. But still, I haven't met anywhere near the people that you guys have had at the convention. So talk about kind of getting involved with the convention originally, and sort of how much do you have involvement with the guests once they agree to show up?
Ah, right. Well, how I got involved, the very first show happened in 2015, and it was in a really small venue in Manchester called the Fab Cafe, which is like a sci-fi themed bar. Now, David Crawford and Jim Krutt, who were both in Dawn of the Dead, generously gave their time up for free. They came over to the UK at their own cost to meet the fans, which it was incredible that they did that. Now, the very first show, we had around 70 people turn up, which was great. It was a great turnout, everyone had a good time. Jim Krutt and David Crawford met the fans, signed autographs, did some pictures and stuff. But it was the start of something, there was such a great, great atmosphere in that little room, and lots of friendships were made, and, some of these friendships are still going strong today. Now, Marcus Lewis and a chap called Dave Berman, they were like the main guys who oversaw the weekend, this first show, decided, well, we've done like one night with a couple of guests. How can we improve this? Can we make it better? So they come up with this Weekend of the Dead. We'll have it over 2 days. We'll have a bunch of guests. We're going to make it bigger and better. Now, if you consider the first show, we had two guests. I mean, the second show, we had nine guests. We had Terry Alexander from Day of the Dead. Mike Christopher, the Hare Krishna zombie from Dawn of the Dead. We had Lenny Lees, the machete zombie from Dawn of the Dead. We had Jeannie Jeffries, who was the blonde zombie and also Tom Savini's makeup assistant. Jim Krutt came over again. We had Eugene Clark, who was the big daddy zombie, the main zombie from Land of the Dead. We had Gary Clark, who played Steel in Day of the Dead. And we had Marty Schiff, who played numerous roles in Dawn of the Dead and Knight Riders. And we also had the producer of Day of the Dead, David Ball. Now, that was an incredible amount of guests.
Yeah, we that's did that fantastic. Over... I mean, that's just incredible for any Romero fan. That is, the top of the list, really.
Yeah, what happened was I went to that event as a fan, and on entering the casino, they changed the venue to this really beautiful casino. On entering the venue, I was confronted with a couple of guys from the team, and they said, we've had a problem with the scanning device for the tickets for the wristband exchange. Do you think you could help out? So, I thought, yeah, sure, I'll help out.
And this is because they knew you from the Facebook group. They already knew you at this point.
That's the whole theme of, the team and the people who are involved in this show is everybody mucks in, everybody chips in and does something. It's sort of really a grassroots vibe. Everybody helps out, and it seems to work, so that the first time I volunteered, I kind of was just doing the wristband ticket exchange, got on board the team, was offered a place on the committee, and it's being on the other side of the fence, seeing how a convention runs, it really is an eye-opener, because I've been going to conventions previous to this for almost 20 years, just as a punter. But, to be asked to be involved in one was like a dream come true. I thought, absolutely, I'll get involved, it sort of went on from there.
And the hardest thing I would imagine is, you know, with a UK or a European convention, is unless you have the money of like the Birmingham or the London Comic Cons, or unless you are a star who happens to like live around the corner, it's very difficult, because the mere cost involved in sort of pulling out someone to the UK, even if they're, I mean, and it's incredible, you know, the Romero people seem to, certainly for the first couple of years, do it for free. You know, they encouraged the fan group, and they wanted to travel. And, you know, it's interesting, living in America, there is a certain interest in the UK still, in terms of as a travel destination. But yeah, and just the list of people you got for that second year is fantastic when you think it's really only the second year off the ground. And the other thing that hits me is, so I've gone to many different types of conventions, whether it's the Wizard World ones, which tend to be very corporate and organized and formal and have grown exponentially in the last few years, or whether it's the Horror Realms, Pittsburgh Horror Realm, which one of my friends used to organize in Pittsburgh. And I much, much prefer the smaller, familial atmosphere. What I found incredible about watching the growth of Weekend of the Dead over the last few years on Facebook is that even with the latest one, and even with the level of guests you're getting, because like I say, Tom Savini came last year and, you know, has been quoted and videotaped even saying it's like his favorite thing he's ever been to, he'll definitely come back. It seems like that familial attitude, even if the venue has grown and the guest list has grown, has been maintained much beyond others that I've seen, because I feel like a convention either sticks it out in the small atmosphere that it might have and then dies, or it becomes corporate very, very quickly. But you guys seem to have maintained that happy medium. How do you think that's been achieved, and how has it grown over the last couple of years?
I would say that what we try and do, we try to keep it intimate, even though, I mean, this year the venue has changed because we had more people buy tickets last year, and we thought, hang on, something's happening here. We're getting more people, so we've had to move the venue to, you know, a new place. It's got more room. We've got separate rooms. You know, we're going to keep the question and answer sessions and the interviews and stuff in a separate room. From, you know, we've got a room with dealers and vendors, but the whole group ethic is, we wanted to keep that special atmosphere we had about over the first couple of shows, you know, keep it intimate. I mean, I've been going to conventions for, you know, a long time. And one of my bugbears is when you go to a convention is you spend half your day queuing up. Mm-hmm. You know, you stood up, you buy your tickets, your autographs or whatever, and then you're queuing up all day. And that's just a waste of time. So what we do at Weekend of the Dead is, as best as we can do, you know, you get in, give your ticket over, and you're in the room, you know, and the guests will be around the tables, you know, where they've got their autographs and what have you, and, you know, they'll be doing the question and answer sessions. But, I mean, you can hang out with the guests. It's not like they're untouchable. I mean, last year, Tom Savini was just walking around the place with a coffee in his hand. He was talking to the vendors. He'd actually bought some materials off one of the vendors. You know, he's just walking like a regular guy. And the guests seem to like what Weekend of the Dead do. We are different. You know, they're allowed to be themselves. And, you know, they're not stuck behind the table, you know, like pieces of meat and expected to make a load of money. You know, it's almost like an extended family. I mean, this is one of the reasons why some of our guests have wanted to come back. They've enjoyed the experience. You know, they've had a good time. You know, the fans who've been, you know, the first time, second time, you know, we've got people coming back for the fourth show, and they've said it's the best convention experience they've had. I say convention, we're not really. I mean, Marcus, you know, the main guy, he described it as an unconventional convention. Yeah. You know, it's similar, but people have described it as just being like an extended family. You know, it sounds kind of corny, but, you know, I made a lot of friends from doing this, you know, and I imagine that we continue to be friends, you know, long into the future, even after Week and the Dead, you know, if it ceases to exist, you know. But the guests, when the guests contact you and ask to come to Weekend of the Dead, then you know you're doing something right.
Oh, definitely. And I think it's been, you know, we're definitely in a time now where the negative cycle is far more heightened than the positive cycle, and it's a shame. I have always tried to keep in my mind, especially when people bash social media. Social media is something that people tend to insult all the time. I think what I have drawn from social media way more than the negative is the, you know, whether it's me doing the podcast, whether it's the Profondo Cinema guys doing the podcast, whether it's you guys doing Weekend of the Dead, whether it's my friends that I've made in Pittsburgh doing Horror Realm or now doing Gross Fest or whatever it is. You know, the main thing I've been able to take from social media is friendships, long-lasting friendships, and friendships that are based on creative interests. And they're not based on, you know, a lot of people, oh, everyone just has their nose in their phone these days. Well, actually, sometimes those people who have their nose in their phone are actually doing something creative, or they're doing something that's interactive. You know what I mean? Like, it's not...
Yeah.
The world is smaller because of it, you know? We didn't... Although mm-hmm. we're both from the UK, and Doc and I are from the UK and so on, none of us knew each other in the UK. I knew all you guys from social media, and we've met subsequently. And I feel like that is one of the major positives that never kind of gets repeated enough for my money. And the same, you know, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing without Profondo Cinema. Fact, it just wouldn't be. And then by extension, I wouldn't have met you. By extension, I wouldn't have met the Bloodbath and Boomstick guys. By extension, I wouldn't have met the Horror Realm guys. Like, there's just, it's snowballed, and it's fantastic because of that. And I feel like Weekend of the Dead really has that spirit.
Yeah, I mean, the social media aspect of it, I honestly think that that is one of the main tools for Weekend of the Dead. It's wide reaching, you know. People all over the world see it. I mean, say from all over the world, I mean, some of the people we've got who bought tickets, I mean, we've got people from Japan, we've got people from Germany, we've got a guy coming over from Australia, we've got people coming on from Ireland, all over the UK coming over to Weekend of the Dead. I mean, can you imagine coming from Japan all the way to the UK for a little show? You know, it shows the dedication that the people have got, and you know, it really, really is appreciated. I mean, I don't think we could have managed without social media. Facebook has been absolutely a dream for us, you know, to get the word out. I mean, we're also doing it the old school way, you know, posters and flyers, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, last year, to promote the show, we were walking around Manchester City Centre, knocking on doors, going into record shops, movie shops, you know, can we give you a poster? Would you, you know, stick this on the wall? You know, the old school way, and that seemed to work too. It's whatever we can do to get the word out for the show, you know. We will try anything, you know.
Yeah.
But word of mouth is also getting out, you know. I said, it's ticket sales have been great so far this year, our reputation is, I sound like I'm blowing my own trumpet, but the reputation of the show is absolutely great, you know.
People know
us now, you know.
Oh, definitely, and I see that even as a friend of yours. I see that beyond that, I see that the show is doing something that is unique. I see that obviously the guests are having a great time. You know, I follow Tom Savini on most of his social platforms, and he's mentioned it multiple times. And, you know, yes, I see they just had a thing in the Monroeville Mall in Pittsburgh where they unveiled our mutual friend's bust of George Romero.
Chris Stavrakis.
Stavrakis, yeah. Who also made Mortal Remains that we've covered on the show in the past, mm-hmm. and has promised me that I'm in Mortal Remains too. I hope. I keep my fingers crossed. asked.
I hope so too.
He said that he wanted me to be a strange, like, Mark Kermode style film critic. And I'm like, does he get killed? And he's like, yes. I'm like, I want to do that so badly. I want to be Mark Kermode and get killed. That would be incredible. But that was years ago that he even brought that up to me, and they've only just ramped that up. So we'll wait and see. But no, because so Chris Tavrakis's bust was unveiled in the Monroeville Mall, and there are now plaques around the cemetery and various things, which I think has all happened posthumously after, sadly, George passed away, because certainly the first time I went to Pittsburgh, it was as if you wouldn't even know. Like, there wasn't even a plaque up. There wasn't even posters up. And although they had done events in those spaces prior, I think even the Dawn of the Dead four-disc European Anchor Bay box set has a Monroeville Mall tour that was done with Ken Free and Greg Nicotero back in the day. So they've done stuff. And in fact, yes, our friends from Profondo are on that video tour, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't think that they've done... I don't think Pittsburgh has kind of really woken up to it or embraced it in the way that they have in the last couple of years. So who knows? One day you might see like a convention exchange happening or something like that. But my feeling is that the Weekend of the Dead, if it continues the way it's going to continue, it is on my bucket list that one day I'm going to coordinate my trip back to the UK to come
you would
and visit.
Be most welcome. You would be most welcome. I would do my utmost to make sure you were a guest of honor. You'd be very welcome, John. And you would love it. You'd love it.
I already know that I would love it. Yeah, I love the idea of guests intermingling and hanging out. I've been to a couple of conventions where that's been the case, and they're always the best kind of conventions. I've also sadly seen, like I say, people either die on the vine or they become corporate very quickly. There is one particular convention, which I won't mention their name, but they started off fairly independently, but they also started off doing two shows a year, which seemed sort of ambitious. And by about the third show, I went to the first couple of shows, by about the third show, I'm like, oh, you've already priced me out of the market. You've already priced me out. Like, the guests are already guests that I'm not 100% interested in. They're already guests that don't fit the genre that you're talking about. They're already guests that are going to start charging $75 as opposed to $20 to $40 for an autograph / photograph. And I'm like, you've already, within three shows, you've priced your core fan base like out of the market. And it always blows my mind. I mean, I'm sure they need to do that in order to survive to some extent. Because the US especially is so saturated in conventions. But it looks like Weekend of the Dead are just maintaining, yes, you're getting bigger, but you're getting bigger with this familial attitude and this familiar atmosphere. And it seems from what you're saying, that is a driving force behind it. Is that the case? That comes from the leaders on down, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, Matt, I had, you were talking about the big corporate conventions. Weekend of the Dead, the whole show, it's a non-profit show, so any money made gets put back in the pot and goes to the next show. None of the crew that run it, from the guy at the top to people like myself who do all kinds of things over the weekend, from taking tickets off punters to decorating the rooms to doing the music over the PA, not one of us are paid. We do it out of love for the films and the fans. That's one of the differences. We're 100% volunteer, and all the money made goes back in the pot for the next show. So no one's getting paid. It really is. I'm going to sound corny again, but it's for the fans. We're a bunch of fans, and we're doing it for the fans. It seems to work.
And the thing is if someone said to you, "Pay £40 to attend this thing," you might do it. But as it is, you get to run it, interact with the guests, see the success of the show, and so on and so forth. And you don't need to get paid for that. You know what I mean? You would probably pay for that experience, and you're getting that experience anyway. So that's what's phenomenal about it as a fan, as a true fan. Yeah.
I mean, last year, for example, it was Tom Josephine's birthday during the show, on the Friday evening before the first day of the show. And, you know, Tom's coming over this year, and it also happens to fall on his birthday. But, you know, the guys on the team, we were all invited over to the hotel for Tom's birthday dinner, you know, and I'm just stood there, just a fan, in a room full of people from Romero films at Tom Savini's birthday dinner. You know, that's the kind of thing that money can't buy. You know?
Right, no, completely.
It was crazy. It's like, I've been a fan of these movies since I was 12 years old, and, you know, if you'd have told me, you know, hey, 30-some years down the line, you're going to be at Tom Savini's birthday party, I'd have told them that, you know, they were crazy. But being on this wonderful team, people, as given me things I could have never, you know, imagined. And I think the main thing that I get from being involved in Weekend of the Dead is the friendships that I've made, you know.
Yeah.
Great bunch of guys and girls. Just so nice people. Everybody is just really, really nice. I mean, Marcus Lewis, the chap who started it all, he works on this, you know, for 12 months. I mean, I'll sort of give you a timeline how it works. So the show's in November. So you do the show, and then you have a few weeks off, and then come December, you work on dates for the next show, and you get your venue booked. So it's pretty much, it's 11 months. It's 11 months hard work doing this, and the whole team are on it, you know, from promoting it to, you know, Marcus is going to, you know, booking flights, because you've got to think of the guests, they've got to get flights, they've got to have hotels, they've got to be fed, you know, you've got to have transport to and from the hotels. All this stuff is organised in-house with the team. It's all done, you know, hands-on. You know, no one's doing it for us. We, you know, we just, everybody gets stuck in with whatever we can do, you know, so it's bloody hard work, but it pays off, you know. The results are, you know, It's worth the hard work.
Oh,
really,
yeah,
is.
definitely. And I think that you know, there's this entrepreneurial kind of spirit right now that isn't necessarily about what can I get out of this, but kind of what can I give out from this. And it's, you know, it's whether it's doing a podcast, doing a convention. I've got friend of mine who opened up his own toy store that does retro toys and stuff.
Oh, the stuff of dreams.
Yeah. And it, like, things like that. Now, obviously, you know, yes, all right, he's going to be taking a profit from that toy store. But he put a ton of his own time, energy, money, effort, all the rest of it, with no one giving him anything, to build it up. You know, he traveled to different toy conventions and created his own toy convention. And, you know, and I love all that kind of stuff. And I love seeing that entrepreneurial spirit. And I would love, you know, at one point to, like, expand, you know, what the diner means, and try and think of a way to kind of do that in a bigger forum. And it's all those things that I'm seeing in a kind of, not selfless, because obviously everyone gets something out of it, but, like, in a relatively non-greedy way is more what I mean. And that's where it's more heartwarming to me. And especially when you think, like, I don't know for how many years Savini had that reputation as being difficult. And I'm like, I've met him. I met him at a convention in Philadelphia, and he seemed fine, great, wonderful, you know, with me. And then with you, like, he's just showing time and time again, and, you know, what a good cat he is.
Yeah, I mean, I think one person's opinion can travel the whole of the internet, and it can just get around. I mean, I'd met Tom previously in 2005, at a convention where George Romero was there, and Galen Ross and a few others, and he was fine. I went up to him, and, you know, as a fan, not knowing what to say, a bit, like, nervous, ooh, and I went up to him, and he was fine, you know. And I'd already heard he'd got this reputation, so to see him as Tom Savini, the real man, not the actor, stuntman, director, etc., to see him as the real person, it's a completely different kettle of fish, you know. So what I would say for people who see things on the internet, just don't always believe what you read on the internet, you know. Wait until you meet the person in the flesh before you, you know, have an opinion about them. You know, Tom Savini is you know, a lovely guy. And for him to ask to come back to Weekend of the Dead was, it was such, I think it just goes to show you how much he thinks of what it is we do.
Yeah. You know? And the fact that it's his birthday and various other things, like, it's, yeah, it's fantastic. And it shows a real, real commitment to it. And I can see it just growing and growing and, you know, keeping my fingers crossed that it doesn't lose the spirit that it has right now. And I think that the nice thing about the Romero trilogy, the Romero films in general, not just a trilogy anymore, but there's five parts to it, right? the thing that I think is nice about it is there are no really big name stars. I mean, Land of the Dead probably has the biggest names in it, but for fans of the films and fans of George in general, everyone is a big name. You know, Terry Alexander, like, if I met Terry Alexander, like, I haven't met him, but, like, if I met him, he's one of my absolute, hands-down favorite performances. Like, his performance in Day of the Dead is just absolutely one of my favorite. Like, I'm hooked on everything he says in that movie. So, to me, he's a huge name. Like, to other people, he's not, but to Romero fans, it really means something. And I think that's where the benefit is, that you're not going to get that prima donna thing that might happen if you were trying to do a Marvel convention or a convention of, I don't know, Indiana Jones or Star Wars or whatever it is, like, where people have been used to sort of million-dollar paychecks and everything else. You're going to be dealing with these guys who, when they were in the movies, it was a grassroots thing. So now that the movies are being celebrated, why not celebrate them in a grassroots way?
Absolutely. I mean, I had dinner with Terry, not last year, the year before, in 2016. I was sat with him having dinner. I bought him a beer. A beautiful man, such a lovely man. I do hope you get to meet him. He's such a cool cat. He's one of the best. It's one of the, if you don't do it yourself, no one's going to do it for you. And the people on the team, they work so hard to make it happen. I don't really think, you know, your average ticket buy punter realizes how hard it is to actually put on one of these things. We somehow make it work. We fly by the seat of our pants. It's very stressful. Yeah. It's very, very, very time consuming. But the overall result is, it's a dream come true for a geek like me to be involved in something like this.
And I love that thing. I mean, you know, you've seen me and my photographs from when I went to Baltimore to visit, like, the Dondola guys, or I go up to Massachusetts and visit the Charlie and Farley, the Motown Media guys, and stuff like that. Like, I think it's healthy to, you know, there was a period of time, and it still exists for a certain generation, but there was a period of time where we were idolizing, like I say, these out of reach, millionaires who are doing these sort of big Hollywood films. And I think there's this nice idea of, well, actually, you can be starstruck by George. Like, I'm starstruck by George Stover from the Dondola movies, even though we're now friends, I think, because we watched their movies. I was really drawn to their movies. When I met him, I was like, oh my. But he just was a guy who worked in the DMV for years. You know, like, he had a government job in the US in Baltimore, and did movies on the side, just like my dad used to do amateur dramatics on the side in the UK. And that's a thing people do, you know, like, get some friends together and put this stuff together. And I feel like what's nice about George Romero's films is that they have both spirits. They have this is a movie that will be seen worldwide and will be seen for many decades and you know, be groundbreaking in what it's talking about and what it's showing. But I also feel like he got his friends around him to be in the film. He got the local community around him to be in the films. And I think that I've always been drawn to that. So I feel that I think that you should idolize the common dude who's just like, Well, on the weekend, I happened to be in this movie that happened to 40 years later be this huge thing. Like, give that guy the medal over the guy who's like, well, you know, I'm Tom Cruise, so therefore, of course, people should idolize me. I'm like, well, no, that doesn't necessarily ring true, you know?
It's, I mean, you talk about there's people. I mean, you look at them as movie stars. I mean, you watch them on VHS as a child, and then DVD, and seen them at the movies, and you have this thing about being starstruck when you met them. I mean, last year I was helping one of the vendors truck out their table back to the vehicle, and Tasso Stavrakis held the door open for me, you know, and Tasso's been in Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead and Knight Riders, and there he was holding the door open for me with one hand with a cup of coffee in the other, you know, everybody, that's the whole ethic of it. Everybody helps out, and the guests, you know, obviously we couldn't do this without the guests, you know, and the fact that, they now ask us, can we come over to the UK? Can we come over to your show? We heard about your show. You know, we want to be involved. And that's just so flattering, you know, to have these people want to come over.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely fantastic. And it certainly comes across in everything that both you and the guests and the attendees share on social. So let's let the listeners know where on sort of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever, they can find the Weekend of the Dead, how they can get tickets, etc., etc. What should people do?
Okay, right on Facebook, you just put in Weekend of the Dead, and you'll get two. You've got Weekend of the Dead, the group page where all the fans chat and stuff, and we post news on the event. And then there's the Weekend of the Dead event page, you know, where you can click on to say you're going or you're interested. You know, you just put Weekend of the Dead in and it'll come up on the internet. The website is www.weekendofthedead.co.uk. We're also on Twitter and Instagram. You'll find us, you know, if you look on Facebook, look us up and you'll find us. You know, we're not hard to find.
It's a great title as well. Like, I'm surprised that no one's used that before. That's surprising to me that isn't a title that someone's used before.
It's trademarked. Yeah, we're officially trademarked. You know, so it is. You have the American event, the Living Dead Weekend, and we are Weekend of the Dead. Yeah. Do you want me to tell you who the guests are for this year?
Yes, please go through it. That would be fantastic.
Okay. We have 13 guests. Some are making not only the UK debut, but the European debut at our little show. So we have Scott Reiniger, who played Roger from Dawn of the Dead. Yeah, we're very excited to get Scott. Very excited. It's the 50th anniversary of Night of the Living Dead this year, and we have Judith Ridley from that film, who played Judy. We also have Gary Striner, who was one of the producers of Night of the Living Dead, and he also had a part in it. And obviously his brother Russ played Johnny.
Right.
As previously mentioned, we've got Tom Savini, who's returning for his second time. The next guest, dream guest for me, Howard Sherman, who played Bob in Day of the Dead.
Wow, okay, that's incredible.
Yeah, we've also got Patricia Tallman, who was in Night of the Living Dead, the remake, directed by Tom Savini. She played Barbara. She's also been in a mass of stuff, Babylon 5, Star Trek. We have Mike Gornick, who was the cinematographer on 5 of George's films, from Martin, Knight Riders, Creepshow, Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead. He also directed Creepshow 2. We also have Richard France, who's making his European debut. Richard France played the eye patch wearing Dr. Millard Rausch in Dawn of the Dead, the guy shouting. Yeah, that guy. Dummies. You know, that we've got Richard coming over. We've also got Antoine DeLeo, who played Miguel in Day of the Dead. We have Randy Kovitz from Dawn of the Dead. You know, the cop that was looking for cigarettes?
Yeah.
He's coming over. Yeah, he also played one of the bikers. Returning, we have David Crawford, who played, I'll get it in a minute, Dr. Foster from Dawn of the Dead. He was the on the television show, you know, where they, all the guys were arguing. Now, David, David's returning alongside with Jim Krutt, who played the helicopter zombie in Dawn of the Dead. You know, I dare say that if it wasn't for those two guys, then Weekend of the Dead would not be here today, you know. So,
and have they attended every year?
No, David and Jim did the first little show in 2015, and then Jim returned in 2016, and this year we have them both returning. You know, we called them off the founding fathers because, you know, if it wasn't for those two gentlemen who gave up their own time at their own cost for the first little show, we wouldn't be here today, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so that's, we have 13 fantastic guests, some who are making the, like I said, the debut in Europe and the UK. It's over 2 days. Also going on over the weekend, we've got a cosplay competition. This year we're open to under 18s. So people are, you know, if you're a family, you can bring it, you know, your child in. If they want to get dressed up as a zombie, you know, they can enter the cosplay contest. We've got vendors and dealers in one room. It's going to be selling all kinds of cool stuff, Blu-rays, DVDs, posters, T-shirts, badges, you name it. And the guests will be doing question and answer sessions live on stage with interviews and obviously, you know, the autograph signing sessions and the photo shoots as well. It's a lot to cram in, but it's worth every penny. It really, really is.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, what a great guest list and a lineup of events. And yeah, I mean, if anyone is a deadhead, either in the UK, in Europe, or hell, the east coast of the US, it's, you know, with Norwegian Air doing these cheap flights, sort it out and get over there. Because it just sounds, I'm hugely jealous that I can't attend every year. Money doesn't allow it, especially this year with the wedding. But, you know, who knows? In the future, this is definitely something that I want to check out if it continues like this. Because, I don't know, anyone who's into Romero films, I don't know how you can pass that up, especially in the UK.
Yeah, we'd love to have you over, John. You know, if sometime in the future you and Kimberly are over in the UK and you happen to be over at the same time, you'd be very, very welcome.
Well, we'd come just to see you and Christy. If it happened to be Weekend of the Dead as well, if it happened to be Weekend of the Dead as well, then so be it. That would be fantastic.
Perhaps we could make it happen.
Oh, no, we will. We have plans in the future to come to the UK again anyway. But look, dude, I'm so glad that you're doing this. I think it's fantastic. I think you found a way, each of us, whether it's the Profondo Cinema guys, me, the Bloodbath and Boomstick guys or whoever, have found a way to kind of express their fandom. And I think that this is awesome that you've found this little niche. Had you ever done anything like this before, or had you, because I kind of knew you as someone who was like a fan of podcasts and writing into podcasts and definitely a fan of the movies and supporter of the films and stuff, but had you ever done anything like this before, or creative before, and or put yourself out there like this before?
Never. It was always a dream of mine to be involved in something like this. You know, everybody has a pipe dream, but I never actually thought it would happen. I think it was just, I was in the right place at the right time, and it was just, you know, when someone asks you to help them, you're like, hey, could you help us out? It's like, yeah, sure. And it opened the door, and I've discovered this huge family of friends, and it's, you know, got me involved in this whole crazy thing. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah, no, completely. And it it's still the same thing with me. If I get to interview someone, or if I get to, I remember I went to a convention and Ted Raimi was there, and it was about 9 months after I had interviewed him for the podcast, because we had him on as second season of Ash vs. Evil Dead. We got an interview with Ted, and he was wonderful on the interview. And then when I bumped into him like 9 months later, And I, you know, sheepishly, you go up, right? And you're like, I don't know if you remember me, but I interviewed you for the After Movie Diner. And the moment I said that, he was like, oh my God, you're the guy? And he immediately, like, stood up. He didn't charge me for any photo. Like, we took, I don't know how many photos with him. We hung out at his table. You know, he gave me a signed thing and da-da-da-da-da. Now, I ended up slipping a few bucks into his tin because I'm not that guy. I'm not going to, like, he's there and I'm not going to not give him his due. But he was just so wonderful like that. You know, those experiences are really, it's not, that's not me saying, oh, what a great interviewer I am. I'm trying to say what a great person Ted Raimi is, that not only did he remember, but that he was like, well, on top of remembering and saying, yeah, I remember the interview, it was really good, thanks very much, he went on and above. He hung out as if, you know, we were friends, and he's talked to me online as if we were friends. And the same with Dana DiLorenzo from that show as well. Mm-hmm. She's very, you know, she saw me in New York when we went down to meet the cast at this little interview they were doing outside of the Comic-Con. And she was like, oh my God, it's John Cross from the After Movie Diner. And she gave me a huge hug. You know, I say this all the time, whether it's film, indie filmmakers I know and love, whether it's indie music guys I know and love or whatever, I say, please, to the internet, give them your time, money, and effort, because you will get that back 20-fold. Whereas if you pay $20 to see the latest Marvel movie, you literally won't get anything back but the 3 hours of the movie.
What I mean? I agree. You and me are the same there. Yeah. Marvel. Boom.
No, I mean, I'm sorry. I pick on them because they're the big game in town. But I just mean, I just mean in terms of like feedback, response, fan experience. Even if you go to a convention and pay, in order for Tom Hiddleston to stop what he's doing and smile at you and say, hello, it's nice to meet you, you have to pay him over $100. You know, that's just the way it is.
It's just wrong, isn't it? You know, I mean, you talking about Ted, at Tom Savini's birthday party last year, I walked into the room and Laurie Cardill got up from a table and gave me a hug and a kiss. And it was like,
yeah,
did that just happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is weird.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what happens. You know, you follow your instinct, you follow your heart, you get involved with something like this and, you know, cool stuff happens, you know.
It does.
And these are the people that make the show work, you know, these real people, these people that we've been watching on the TV for years, you know, watching the movies, you know, and when you're in a room with them, you know, they're not Tom Cruise, they're not Meryl Streep, they're just these people that have made these great movies, you know, the real people, the human beings, and, you know, you come to Weekend of the Dead and you can hang out with them, you know, they're not starry at all, you know. That's the difference with us.
Yeah. So I love it. I love encourage people to check out Weekend of the Dead. I encourage people to buy tickets and go see them. I encourage people to support indie ventures whenever I see them and I see value in them, because that's the only way that we protect creativity and we protect entertainment for the future. It really is. It's the only way. And I told a story this week on the diner about a fan of the show who had read my Ash vs. Evil Dead article that had said if fans hadn't been such dicks to that show and had actually supported it instead of whining about it, then the show would still be on, I truly believe.
Yeah, and they killed it, haven't they? They killed it stone dead, that show.
Yeah, you know. And Bruce has said he'll never do it again or never be Ash again, ever. And in fact, Rob Tappert was asked about it at a convention, and even post that, and Rob Tappert went, we were begging Bruce to be involved in a sequel to Fede Alvarez's remake, because Fede is finally coming around to maybe he wants to do that. And Bruce has said, no, I literally will never do Ash again. End of. So that's down to the fans, right? So I had written an article about that, and someone read that article, and what twigged in their brain was, well, I've listened to 40 episodes of the After Movie Diner and haven't given them a dime, and supported us on Patreon off the back of that. And that's what I mean. It's not about necessarily giving money to me or giving money to people, but it's also just in general liking stuff, sharing stuff, retweet. If you can't attend Weekend of the Dead, share Weekend of the Dead, because who knows, one of your friends and family might really want to go. You know, you never know who the friends are. The only reason that Mark and I are having this conversation right now is because I listen to Profondo Cinema. Mark used to write into Profondo Cinema.
Yeah, that's right.
I used to write into Profondo Cinema. I became a podcaster, and Mark and I became friends. And it's only because we shared stuff, liked stuff, commented in groups, whatever it was, and we saw each other talking online, and it went from there. And that's really, if I can encourage anything, it's not about, oh, you know, give someone some money, although that's certainly always welcome, and I do think people should support indie over corporate every day of the week. But it's also about building those connections and just having a much better existence. We're all struggling right now with the negative cycle, and the only way we get through it, right, is being able to talk about something like Weekend of the Dead or having a podcast.
Talk about the things you love. Yeah. Be creative. Be positive. You know, just keep. Don't switch off the TV. Don't switch off the radio. Don't read the news. Don't listen to the news. Just do the things that you love. You know, keep at it. Be creative. Do your podcasts. Paint your pictures. You know, do whatever it is that you do, because, you know, some bastard out there will always try and keep you down.
Yeah. No, I said to Kim, like, I was really having a kind of a little bit of a crisis. And I was seeing that the usual avenues on whether it's Facebook or Twitter, because of certain algorithms, weren't always getting through. And I was also, and it wasn't so much about like me promoting my own stuff, but I was missing. There were people who were saying, hey, did you see my article on whatever it is? Or did you hear my podcast on whatever? And I was like, no, I wasn't even aware that that had come out. And it was because on my newsfeed or on my whatever, it just wasn't popping up. The only thing you can do that's kind of free on Facebook in order to get more people to see it is to set up a group. Groups are perfect for that kind of thing. Like, I see everything that happens in After Movie Diner and Doctor Action Group. And I set up another group that's literally, share your creative stuff here. Like, that's what it's called.
That's right.
And it's called that because I want, it's not about like, I want to share my podcast to people. It's about, I want to see when my friend writes an article that I'm interested in. I want to see when my friend releases a song that I want to hear. I want to see when someone, like, that's, I want to be in touch as much as I want other people to be in touch. And I also want to encourage the sharing of things so that more people see it. And, you know, I think that's me trying to put just a tiny ounce of positivity out into the world, because it's too easy to get sucked into the opposite, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, you see the amount of stuff that's on Facebook. I mean, you've got the adverts and stuff, and then, you know, they actually make suggestions for things that you may like, and then you think, well, where's that person? I've not seen that person for a few weeks, and you think, well, why have I not seen their posts or their pictures, or, like you said, you know, or the podcasts or other artists or singer-songwriters? Stuff gets lost, and I think what you've done is a good idea. People can actually come. It's almost like your own little box, isn't it? This is John Cross's box. Come along to John, give him your stuff, you know, and then you get to see it, and then also other people get to see it.
Yeah, no, that's all I want is the reason why I don't invite everyone to the group is because I want creators to post in the group, and then I want everyone else in the group to share that out to their public timeline, because essentially the more people have to think about it this way, the more a post gets touched, looked at, liked, shared, commented on, the more it flows to the top of the algorithm. So
yeah,
it's not about, I don't want to invite my entire friend list to that group, because then you get lost in it. What I want is everything creative to be put into that group, and then everyone who's in that group to share that creative stuff out in the public forum, because then that way more people are touching the post than would do if someone just posted it on their timeline and waited for me to kind of see it. So that's more what I'm looking to do, rather than to make it another just another thing. Like the After Movie Diner Doctor Action, anyone can join that group, because that's a group for people to discuss movies and to discuss fandom and to discuss the podcast and whatever. That's a more open forum. This is more a put your creative stuff here, whether it's a convention you host or whether it's a podcast you do or whether it's an article you write. And then for the people in that group, and I think there's about 50 people in that group, for them to all share that out to their individual timelines and encourage other people to share it. I think that's more what it is. And I hope it's working a little. I wish more people were sharing more stuff, but it's working better in a way than it was me just putting stuff out into the ether and not really kind of getting any response on it. So.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know, as a host of the After Movie Diner and the other podcasts you've done, I know it's the feedback you get from the listeners that it helps, you know, it gives you something to feed off, you know, you send me a message, email me. I mean, I listen to some podcasts and nobody writes in, nobody emails, and, you know, it's like they're just talking to themselves. It's people should get involved, you know, make your voice be heard, you know. Send that podcast a message, or phone into that podcast, or send that email. You know, people need to get more involved.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, as someone who runs a podcast, it's few and far between that people kind of write in. And I get it. I mean, I sit around sometimes and I'm like, oh, I'm going to write into my friend's podcast or whatever it is, or I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, and you know, I don't end up doing it. You know, I'm as guilty of it as anyone else is, but I do support where I can. I give some money on Patreon to other creators, even though obviously it takes out of my Patreon that I get from my creators, so I do that to support others, and I do share where I can and comment where I can. And if anyone wants to come onto the show and talk about what they're doing, then I try and give a forum there. And beyond that, like, as and when I can email, I will. That's how I look at it. This has been great, dude. So let's we've told everyone where they can find it. We've told everyone who's showing up this year to the event. You know, we've talked about what the films mean to us. I don't know if you want to wrap it up as to like tell people kind of how you got into Romero stuff in the first place, just to kind of give it some context, and then we can kind of wrap it up. But if you think that,
yeah,
be
sure.
Cool.
Yeah. My first Romero, I was 12 years old. It was Day of the Dead. Me and my cousin went down to the local video rental shop. And they had the cardboard standee of, you know, Rhodes with his pointing his gun, and it said Day of the Dead. And we were like, what's that? You know, who's this army guy? You know, so, I mean, we were 12. We shouldn't have been rented an 18-rated movie, but, you know, we got it, got away with it. And got back, we put it on, and I'd never seen anything like it. I'd never seen... I mean, I'd seen a zombie before in, you know, the Michael Jackson Thriller video, but I'd never seen gore like I'd seen, and the bad language, you know, to a 12-year-old, you know, you're like, whoa, and it was just, I need to see this movie again, and watched it a couple of times, and a few years went by, and I discovered Martin and Night of the Living Dead, Channel 4, showed them like a late night screening, and the name Romero came up, and I thought, this is the Day of the Dead guy. So, you know, I got a bit more interested, and then I discovered, you know, Fangoria magazine, a local news agent, and they had articles on Savini, and I just, you know, from the age of 12 all the way up through, you know, I'm 44 now, and I still have that passion for these films, you know, and it's never left me, you know, it's just one of them things, you know, some guys like comics, Marvel, you know, some guys like Doctor Who. Me, I'm a Romero guy. I've been most of my life now.
It's fantastic. And they're definitely films that I think, especially through the fan base, like pull people in. And I think the reason why they do that is they've got a lot more to say than just your standard thing. I mean, I'll watch a schlocky Italian Romero ripoff any day of the week. You know, I'm a big fan of Nightmare City and films like that, but, you know, Contagion and things. But in general, I always go back to the Romero films because they're just so well written and so well produced, and they're unlike any other zombie film out there. And also, George was always such a benevolent and friendly figurehead. Like, whenever I saw George interviewed, I never felt any of the, sort of recrimination or negativity or whatever that I'm sure he must have felt. Like, he must have seen, you know, Wes Craven and John Carpenter and his contemporaries kind of become bigger and become these, like, names to be reckoned with. And Romero was still sort of either knocking about Pittsburgh or knocking about Canada. And having recognition amongst the fans, but not really having recognition from the industry in quite the way he should have. I mean, especially like the once they did the Dawn of the Dead remake and the floodgates opened and everyone started doing zombie films again, someone should have gone, hey, how about we take $100,000 from each of these movies and start giving it to George, because really they wouldn't exist without George.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Walking Dead, you know, the television phenomenon, it wouldn't have existed without George. I mean, George had, you know, obviously through the fans over the years, you know, people knew his work, but I don't think up until, you know, his passing that he was really recognised for the visionary and fantastic director he was. I mean, his movies always had, there was always an underlying thing underneath, you know, underneath the zombies. You know, you've got the in Day of the Dead, you've got the scientists versus the military. In Dawn of the Dead, you've got the consumerism. You know, Knight Riders. You've got the guys doing the medieval fairs at odds with modern society. George always had an underlying theme or underneath the main story that made his work stand out. He it's all about the human condition. I think he really wanted people to look deeper.
Yeah.
And you look at the way the world is at the minute. I mean, everybody's at odds with each other. You know.
Yeah.
Without going too deep into politics, everybody's everyone's at odds with each other. And that's one of the main themes in a lot of George's films. We're, as human beings, we just can't seem to get along with each other.
And I think that we're always going to be very lucky. And again, maybe all generations feel this way. I don't know. Maybe they all get to their 40s and then they're just like, wow, we were really lucky to grow up in the decades that we grew up in. But, you know, I think that a lot of people, like when Rick Mayall passed, right, and when Robin Williams passed and stuff like that, it wasn't so much about who they were as individuals, but it was about the humor and the light and the silliness they brought into the world, right? And same yeah. same with the films that we all love and things like that. And I think that I'm kind of glad I lived through a period where silliness was all right, because I feel we've got to a point where, for some reason, people aren't being silly anymore. And I look around the world and I think what we probably need is more silliness, less sarcasm and cynicism what's the word? Like less sensitivity, like less finding everything so fucking offensive. And instead,
we need to be able to take the piss out of each other and not take offense.
Yeah.
Which is, everyone's offended by everything these days.
And I can't help but think, to bring it back to George, I can't help but think that there is a zombie film in there that talks about that. You know what I mean? If you look at the censorship we had in the UK over the video nasties in the 80s and sort of what happened from that and what sprung from that, You look at it now with the censorship we're seeing and the control issues we're seeing and the seriousness and the sensitivity and the I'm offended and the give me a safe space kind of thing that's happening right now. I think that there is something to be said there. I don't know if I'm the person to come up with a story for it, but like there's the story there to be told where the zombies represent, you know, one side humanity represents the other side, you know, and I don't necessarily even think that humanity needs to represent the good side. I think maybe the zombies represent the good side. We maybe have maybe we have a film where humans are all too busy arguing amongst themselves that zombies end up taking over the world, you know, or whatever it is.
Maybe we've become the zombies.
Yeah, exactly. So there's all those things that could be tied into, and it's a shame that George is not here to make that movie. Someone needs to step into that fray. But, dude, it has been an absolute thrill and absolute pleasure to have you on the show today. It really has, and to talk to you again. We talk online, but it's rare that I think it's the first time we've ever got on the phone together, and the last time we saw each other was when you guys visited New York. So let's do this more often, but thanks ever so much for coming on the show and talking about Weekend of the Dead. And I'm genuine when I say, like, I can't wait to get there. It will happen in the next couple of years if you guys keep doing it.
I certainly hope so. Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, of course, man. Thanks so much for doing this. This was awesome.
Okay, cheers, John. Take care.
All the best, man. Take care. Speak soon. Okay, so that was our fantastic conversation with Mark Burns, all about George A. Romero, Weekend of the Dead, and indeed sort of just supporting your indie convention or podcast or website or whatever it is. Do the good and right thing. You can find out more about Weekend of the Dead over at weekendofthedead.co.uk. That's weekendofthedead.co.uk. You can also find Weekend of the Dead on Facebook and on Twitter under Weekend Dead. That's at Weekend Dead. Find it, follow it, share it, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your enemies, tell strangers on the street. Weekend of the Dead in Manchester City, UK, November 3rd through 4th, 2018. Be there.